to say how grateful I am to be with you again. It's always lovely to have fellowship with you dear people here. And had lovely hospitality today from Mr. and Mrs. Batstone. And then also with Alan and Liz. Been lovely to meet with them and hear something of the summer work that's been going on and general work. Trust the Lord will continue to bless your testimony, make you to be continuing as a city set upon a hill, a light which cannot be hid. God bless you in dark days. Now our text tonight is Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now tonight I want to try and answer the question, how do I become a Christian? How do I become a Christian? And there are so many of you in this congregation tonight who could give that answer. You would all give different answers. You would tell how you came. The difference would be how you came, but the reason why you came would be the same. And the result of what you got after you had come would be the same. And so many of you could give the answer to the question. How do I become a Christian? I would like to just come and sit next to each one of you, if it were possible, and ask you two questions. I'd like to ask you, are you a Christian? Do you know yourself to be a saved child of God? And then depending on your answer, if you said no or I'm not sure or some answer like that, I would then say to you, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Now you may feel that the way of coming is so complicated that you wouldn't know where to begin giving an answer if you're not a Christian. Well, tonight, I want to be, because the text is, I want to be as simple as it's possible to be. How do I become a Christian? And we're going to ask, how did Matthew become a Christian? We don't read a great deal about Matthew. He does the writing. 28 chapters of it, but we don't read a great deal of what Matthew was like. So it could well be that he was just like you. Just like you. Well, it might seem a difficult thing because, you know, the devil's pulling you like crazy. You know, if you're not a Christian, you heard us tonight. You heard us tonight praying in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done. Well, if you're not a Christian, you are saying to the devil, Thy will be done. Because the devil doesn't want you to be a Christian. He hates Christians. That's one of the reasons why it's difficult to be a Christian. Because wherever the devil sees Jesus Christ, if he sees him in you, it's difficult for you because he'll be after you. He's after me. I know that. I'm well known with the devil. I may not be well known with anybody else, but I'm well known with the devil. He knows where I live. He knows all about me. He knows about you. But we just want to look at Matthew. And I hope that in the simplicity of the statement, the Holy Spirit will come and open the eyes of your soul, and that you'll see things you've never seen before. Or maybe you have seen them before and you've run away from them. Well, the question we're asking of Matthew is this, how did you come? How did you come to Christ? How did you come to follow him? How did you come to be a Christian? Basic question in a gospel service. Well, I would suggest this. First of all, he came surprisingly. Because, you know, we all came surprisingly. Surprise any one of us as a Christian. Why did our Lord Jesus Christ come that day and speak to Matthew? I suppose there were a lot of people that the Lord Jesus passed that day that he did not speak to. We don't read an account of all the other people that he said, follow me. No, no. Just to this man, Matthew. He said, follow me. Surprising for Matthew, A, because he was a sinner and because of the type of sinner he was. It's always a surprise when a sinner comes to Christ because, you see, when we're sinners, we're not only sinners, but we are dead in it. We are dead in it. It's a very serious thing to be a sinner. The Bible says, dead in trespasses and sins. What an awful condition to be dead spiritually. Dead toward God. Dead toward heaven. Well, Matthew no doubt was a sinner. But then, of course, in particular, he was a sinner because of the job he was doing. He was a traitor to the Jews. We know all about that. Here he was a Jew, and he was taking taxes off the Jews for the Romans. And these tax gatherers were hated people and despised people. And they weren't allowed into the synagogue and so forth. I wonder if you feel tonight that it would be a very surprising thing for you to get saved. You didn't come out tonight expecting to get saved. You just thought you were going to church. God may deal with you. God may deal with you. Oh, he may do a wonderful work for you tonight. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ ever remonstrated with Matthew. I wonder as he went past this booth from time to time before his public ministry, I wonder if he ever went in and spoke to Matthew about the work that he was doing. I wonder if he ever spoke to Matthew about the people he was exploiting. Maybe widows and such people, and they didn't have the taxes. But Matthew had the authority to take from them whatever amount he felt like. Well, we don't know. Was this the first time that Jesus had ever come across Matthew? Or was it the first time Matthew had ever seen Jesus? We don't know. How many times have you heard the gospel? You who are unsaved. Do you know there will be people on the day of judgment and they will say, I never heard the gospel. I never heard of Jesus Christ. Now you might say to me, what's going to happen to them? And I'll tell you, I don't know, but God knows exactly what he's going to do with them. But when you stand before God, you won't be able to say you never heard. Oh no. Some of you will have to say you heard hundreds of times, tens of times. I don't know. Well, here's Matthew. And I don't know whether he'd met Jesus before. But I do know, after this day, he'd certainly met Jesus. He was never the same again. Never the same again. And then we're told here that he was sitting. That makes it a bit more surprising because he wasn't leaving this place. He wasn't looking through the window. He wasn't clearing his desk. He wasn't handing in his notice. But he was sitting at the receipt of custom. It's an interesting thing that the three Gospels that record Matthew's call all use the same word, sitting. They were aware of the fact that he was sitting. He was at his work. Sitting. The people that sat in darkness. That's how they were described in Old Testament times. The people that sat in darkness. I wonder tonight, are you sitting? Well, you say, of course we're sitting. I don't mean just sitting in a pew. I mean sitting in reluctance to become a Christian. Sitting in reluctance to ask forgiveness as if you had never sinned. As if you had never broken the Ten Commandments. And you are sitting in reluctance. Or maybe you are sitting in apathy. Or maybe you are sitting in self-righteousness. but you're sitting. My, it would surprise some people if you became a Christian tonight. Might surprise your husband or your wife or your parents. Well, here's Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. I wonder when the disciples came along with the Lord Jesus that day. I wonder, were they critical of Matthew? I wonder, did they say to each other, oh, we're just going to pass this tax office now. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus had something to say to this fellow. You watch. Jesus would have something to say to him. And Jesus did. Surprised the life out of the disciples by saying to Matthew, follow me. Follow me. Matthew, follow me? You mean a tax gatherer? Follow me? Oh, wonderful is the grace of God. You remember how Saul of Tarsus was going about his business of persecuting Christians, putting them to the death, putting them in prison. And the angels looked down and said, "Ooh, look at that, look at what that character's doing now, look at him." And the Spirit of God went out. Suddenly, a light from heaven. How surprised the angels would be that day. And maybe also about Matthew. Well, the Lord Jesus said to him, follow me. Wonder why you were saved, my Christian friend. Why were you saved? Do you remember what it says in Matthew chapter 11? It says there concerning the work of our Lord Jesus. And he raises a point that some people ask, you know. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Some are left to go their own chosen way. Don't ask for that. That's the worst possible thing you could have, your own free will. Every sin you've ever committed had the full permission of your free will. That was the worst thing I ever had, was my free will. Better thing is to have God's free grace. Well, some are passed by. Hidden. The gospel's hidden. These things from the wise and prudent, and reveal them unto babes. Well, why is that? Well, Jesus answers in the next verse. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That's why. Just because God did it. Just because God said it. Well, here's Matthew. He's settled and yet he's not settled. He's happy and yet he's not happy. He's successful in his work and yet he's not successful. All is not right. All is not right with you, my friend. I don't know who you know or what you've done or where you've been, but if you don't know Christ, all is not right. All is not right. Oh, that you may come tonight. It may surprise you more than surprise anybody else. You came to Jesus Christ tonight. Had your sins forgiven. Well, he came surprisingly. Secondly, I notice he came straightforwardly. What a short sermon. Do you like short sermons? Well, here's a good one for you. Follow me. That's all. That's all Jesus said. Follow me. That's all he had to say. Why, I may talk with you for hours. I may give you books to read and I don't know what else, and still you won't say a thing. But if the Spirit of God says to you tonight concerning Jesus Christ, follow me, you'll be up and you'll follow. Straightforward. I'm glad to tell you, nothing complicated. Sometimes directions are complicated, aren't they? I was preaching up in the north of England some weeks ago, and I was in plenty of time, Sunday morning, and I was driving along. I came to a roundabout. There was a big, cheery policeman standing there, smiling at me. Or some kerfuffle or whatever in the town, I don't know, but I had to go, and up the hill, and over. I didn't know where I was. Of course, I had to get there on time. I didn't know where I was. And I'm driving and I couldn't see anybody. It all seemed to be just fields and sheep. It was no good asking them. And I was going, anyway, I saw a fellow. Oh, I thought, this is good. So I stopped to ask him. I said, could you tell me how I could get back onto the A6? Well, I knew from the beginning I'd stopped the wrong one. Oh, he said, the A6? Oh. Well, now, he said, if you go on for about 3/4 of a mile, you'll see a left turn. I said, yeah? Don't take that. Well, we went on left, right, left, right, left, right. It was like being in the army. I don't know what directions he gave me, but I had to go and find somebody else. It was all so confusing. Sometimes preaching's like that. You think, well, what was he preaching about? What was it about now? What was he trying to say? But our Lord Jesus Christ here, so straightforward. Follow me. Follow me, he says. And you know, that's what a Christian is. A Christian is a follower of Christ. It's no good in these days. It's no good saying to somebody, I'm a Christian. They haven't the slightest idea what you mean. They probably mean you're a Roman Catholic. Or you belong to the Christian Democrats or the Christian Militia or Christian something. But to say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's a Christian. What I read of him in the book, that's what I want. That's what I do. Follow me. The Bible is full of straightforward calls. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And that's a text under which the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon was converted. Look unto me and be saved. And the preacher said to Spurgeon, anybody can look. I'm not sure that he was theologically right with there, but that's what he said. Anybody can look. Look unto me and be saved. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. And those words on the day of Pentecost, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Well, we know what it means. You don't have to have 16 O-levels to know what that means. Perhaps the most straightforward of them all. Follow me. Follow me. Do you know, if you're not saved, since you've been born, you've been following yourself and following the old devil. That's what an unsaved person is. I'll do it my way. Chap was telling me recently he saw a gravestone and the man's name and when he was born and when he died, it just said underneath, he did it his way. Dear me. Dear me. When you become a Christian, you do it God's way. This straightforward call, follow me, and this straightforward response. He got up and he followed. Oh, at the judgment, you won't be able to say you didn't understand. Jesus says, follow me. Oh, well, now, I don't quite know. It's as simple, is it not? Follow me. May the Spirit of God come and help us. Help us. Oh, will you do that tonight? Will you follow Jesus Christ as he calls? Will you? Will you? Jesus passes by and he calls you. Well, he came surprisingly and he came straightforwardly. And thirdly, he came immediately. That's the best time to come. Young people, that's the best time to come. Older people. Why, some of you, if you're unsaved and you're older, how long are you going to live? How many more times will you hear the gospel? Will you? He came immediately. Now our Lord Jesus Christ did not say to Matthew, you know, Matthew, I want you to think about this. Oh no, oh no. He said, follow me. And he didn't say to Matthew, I want you to talk about this. No, 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 no. Spend too much time talking. And the Lord Jesus didn't even say to Matthew, I want you to pray about it. He said, follow me. The old devil wants you to pray about it and talk about it and think about it. Read about it. Our Lord Jesus said to Matthew, follow me. That's what you do. Will you come tonight? Will you come tonight? Immediately. Well, when you think that the maker of the universe came to die on a cross for sinners like you. When I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, and how great in offering yourself to me, that I might be saved, that I might have life more abundant, that I might spend my days walking with God on my way to heaven, to be saved. He came immediately. He came in, what an example Matthew sets us. The devil says, sometime. And the devil says, maybe. And the devil says, tomorrow. The devil says, you've got to think about it. The devil says, perhaps, or later, or when you're older, or, you know, things like that. What did Jesus say to Matthew? Follow me. Follow me. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And will you add a word? I come tonight. I come now. I come just as I am, with all my sin, and with all my darkness, and with all my confusion, and with all my self-centeredness. Lord, I come. I take Matthew, Lord. I take Matthew as an example. I take the Lord Jesus in his preaching as my gospel message tonight. Follow me. And I take Matthew as my example. And O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Will Jesus ever call you again? I don't know. But he calls tonight. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Somebody said recently, is God's favorite word come? I don't know. But he asked that question. Is God's favorite word come? And after all our resistance and all our rebellion, he still says to us, come. Whosoever will, whoever, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. Follow me. Follow me. Well, here he comes. He comes surprisingly. He comes straightforwardly. He comes immediately. Well, you say, I'm a very quiet sort of person. I'm not like other people. I don't do things openly. And I don't talk a lot about my religion. Did you know that Matthew didn't seem to talk a lot about his religion? You know that if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts of the Apostles, if my maths is correct, I think that's 117 chapters. And do you know, in not one of those chapters is Matthew recorded as speaking. He never said a word that's recorded. And yet the Holy Spirit laid hold of him and told him to write the first book in the New Testament. But Matthew doesn't appear to have been a wordy person. He wasn't like Peter, you know, all up front and everything to say. And no. Maybe like you, if you're a quiet person. The devil says to you, well, you're a quiet person, you know. You don't do these sort of things. You know, other people, they make outward responses. But my dear friends, Matthew, the quiet man, he got up. He came surprisingly and straightforwardly and immediately. And one other thing. Something that Matthew doesn't tell us. There's something missing here. He came totally. That's the way to come. He came totally. And how do we know that? Well, maybe Matthew was too humble to say so, I don't know. But in Luke's Gospel, there when he gives the account of Matthew's call, he gives three words that are left out of Matthew's account. He adds this. He left all. He left all. Everything that hindered him, he left it. There's a man I know now, he's about 37, 38 years of age. And our youngest son's been talking to him about the gospel in I don't know how many weeks. Weeks. And he's got this problem. He wants to know all the time what he's got to leave, what he's got to lose. I think the devil's got him in a stranglehold. The devil comes to you, you know, and he says, think of what you're going to lose. And the Lord Jesus says to you, and think of what you've got to gain. To become a child of the living God. To walk by grace. To enter into the family of God's people. Made ready for heaven. You're a professing Christian, but you haven't left all. And that's your problem, and you know it is. He left all. I mean, someone has said that quite likely that Matthew, he gave up more than any of the other apostles. The other apostles were out trying to catch fish and that sort of thing, but here he was catching money, getting it just as much as he wanted. And he left all. The bags of money. He left all. This was his livelihood, but it was also the path of destruction. He left all. I wonder who got it. I don't know. Probably burned his fingers. But he left all. And Luke tells us here, it says it came to pass in verse 10 of Matthew 9. Verse 10, it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. In which house? Which house? Well, Matthew doesn't tell us, but Luke does. Luke says that Matthew, he made a feast in his house, and he invited all his friends. He'd become a Christian, and he was so thrilled at becoming a Christian, he invited Jesus to the house, and he invited all his friends and some of his enemies, no doubt, and they came to the house, and the Pharisees here, that they criticized because of the Lord Jesus was eating, he says, with the publicans and with sinners. And Matthew had gathered them. Like you, dear friends, try to do. You try to bring other people under the sound of the gospel. And you try to give a word. And sometimes you get nowhere and you feel you come home and you're so disappointed. But you want to do it. There's nothing more thrilling in your life than to see somebody else coming to Christ. And here is Matthew, and he gathers this crowd because he wants this lot to meet Jesus. Mind you, this lot wanted to meet Matthew. They'd heard about him. Have you heard? You know, Matthew, he's become religious. I say, oh yeah, become religious. And not only that, but I hear that he's left all. Can you imagine these other tax gatherers that are meeting? He must be mad. Aye, what a wonderful madness. Oh, praise God, what a wonderful madness. What hinders you? What hinders you? Oh, do you see Matthew as an example? Jesus says, follow me to pardon, follow me to forgiveness, follow me to peace, follow me to joy, follow me to a world of love, follow me to a world of heaven, follow me. And the devil, what does he say? He says, follow me, follow me. And if you're unsaved, you are doing just that. Oh, that God would help you tonight. That God would help you. How long will it be if you wait until you're better? And if you wait another night, oh, if the devil gets you to put it off another night and another night, and then that's it. Out into eternity. Into eternity. May God grant graciously to you. And say, how did Matthew come? How did he come to Christ? Well, he came surprisingly. And he came straightforwardly. He came immediately. He came totally. God help us, everyone, to do it. Let's bow in prayer.